Jennifer Farr Davis had a not that unusual dream for her life immediately following college. After she graduated from Samford University, she wanted to hike the entirety of the Appalachian Trail. Many people at least daydream about traversing the 2,181-mile course called simply the AT by devotees. And Jennifer Farr Davis did hike the trail through all 14 different states it covers from Georgia to Maine. She would go back to the trail the third time she hiked it in a record 46 days, averaging 47 miles per day. Her professional life is now devoted to hiking, and she is the founder of Blue Ridge Hiking Company. Her books include Becoming Odessa, Epic Adventures on the Appalachian Trail, and her latest book, Called Again, A Story of Love and Triumph. Earlier this month, she spoke at an event at Packrat Outdoor Center in Fayetteville. And while she was in town, she came by the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio.
I make my living through hiking and guiding and riding, and I love all things trail.
Do you have a memory of what you would consider your first hike?
You know, my family did a decent job of taking us out on short day hikes growing up, but we weren't an outdoor family. I played a lot of sports, and then when I graduated college, I had the idea that I wanted to hike the Appalachian Trail. And that was really my first step into the wilderness.
All right. A lot of people have that desire to hike that trail. Mm-hmm. A lot of people do some of it or never get around to it. You've done it more than once. What did you do to get ready to do that?
Nothing.
Oh,
I was 21, so I had a lot of excitement, but not a lot of experience, and that doesn't really bother you when you're 21 years old. So after graduating, I just got my brother's old Boy Scout gear and flipped through a few books and then hit the trail on my own.
I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but I would gather that you would not use that as advice for people.
No. Sometimes, people will pick up my first book, Becoming Odessa, which describes that initial journey down the trail, and they expect it to be a how-to book. And my advice is, don't do what I did on the trail. If you want to learn from my mistakes, that's fine. But I did a lot of things wrong along the way. I was just able to adapt and learn from my mistakes. And I think that's what ultimately made me successful on the trail.
You have since gone back to the trail.
I have now done the entire 2,185-mile Appalachian Trail three separate times.
And the last time?
The last time, this is really crazy. My husband helped me along the way, and we set the overall record for men and women. So for 46 straight days, I hiked, on average, 47 miles a day.
Now, is that enjoyable?
Yes. It's not fun. It is enjoyable. I do think there's a difference. I really wanted to know what my physical limits were. That was the question I was trying to answer that summer. I had enjoyed a lot of backpacking, had very fun trips in the past, and I knew I wanted to be a mom and wanted to have a family. So if I wanted to answer that lingering question of what was 100%, what does my best look like on the trail, then I needed to go out and try to find my answer.
Were there any low points during that period?
Any low points? Oh, I probably had multiple every day. But the one that stands out the most is that, I got to Vermont, and that summer we started in Maine, and we were working our way down to Georgia. So my first day in Vermont, I had shin splints. I was having these weird after effects from some hypothermia I had experienced. And my body then just got sick. I mean, I was really sick. I was on the trail, and I had never felt so bad in my life. And so I quit. 100% in my mind, I was finished. And then I got to the next road crossing where I could officially go home. And my husband was there waiting for me, and he wouldn't let me in the car. I mean, he literally would not let me quit. And I was surprised and a little angry. But he told me I had to keep going another day and a half. He said, you feel too bad to make a good decision. Just go a little longer. If you want to quit tomorrow, that's fine. So I kept hiking, and a few hours later, medicine started to kick in, and I no longer wanted to quit. So I really owe the record to my husband.
There are a lot of spouses out there who just heard that and think, boy, that was a borderline great decision, irresponsible decision.
Yeah. That was risky on his part saying that, but it definitely worked out in the end. And usually he is so kind and sympathetic, so that's why it really took me for a surprise when he just wouldn't let me stop. But in that moment, he knew me better than I knew myself.
When you're setting the world record, the fastest time, what can you observe and what can you not observe?
I would never want to try for a record on my first journey down any trail, because I think you do take something in at a slower pace, and it is nice to be able to stop and picnic by a waterfall or take as many pictures as you want. But on the record, I still took it in. And I think, in a way, I needed the inspiration of nature and the beauty that surrounded me more than ever. Because I was always on empty. I always needed something bigger than myself to motivate me to keep going. So when I needed that, a lot of times I would brush my fingertips along some trees that had, you know, been there for 100 years, or looked out at the majestic mountains. And the Appalachians are so wise and so ancient and so rugged. And I do think I drew maybe more of that strength when I set the record than I had on previous hikes along the trail.
How did you work out footwear? When would you know it was time to change?
Oh, man. I went through about 7 pairs of shoes that summer, and my feet were not pretty at the end. I did not wear flip-flops for a while. I tried. I had enough experience at that point to know how to really try to take good care of my feet, and I had great socks. Fit socks. They're my favorite piece of equipment, probably. And Gold Bond powder is a miracle cure for wet feet. Sometimes duct tape is better than a Band-Aid when it comes to blisters. So, you know, all the experience and knowledge went to trying to keep my feet in decent condition on the trail.
Whether you're testing your limits physically or you're on a hike where you might have a picnic by a waterfall with friends or family, I get the feeling that you could take a certain trail, and I don't mean just you, any of us could take a certain trail several times, and it's not the same hike ever.
That's what I, love about hiking, is that it's so universal. You know, you can do it for a challenge. You can do it with your family just going into a short waterfall hike. But no matter how many times you do it, it will never be the same experience. When I did the record, it was my 3rd time on the Appalachian Trail. I saw views that I didn't know existed, because before I had rain or fog. When I started, I saw these white lady slippers, which are these beautiful, kind of rare flowers that I had never seen along the trail, and all of a sudden they were everywhere in Maine. I saw a lot of different animals that summer because I was hiking so early and so late into the day. And so, people say, well, you've done it 3 times. Don't you want to do other trails? Yes, I would like to do other trails, but I would do the Appalachian Trail, as many more times as possible, because it is always a new and different experience.
Other than harming the natural environment around a person, is there a wrong way to hike?
That's a good way to put it. I say the rule of thumb is respect the environment, respect others, and respect your own body, respect your limits. And if you follow those rules, then you're probably, whether you take a dog or don't take a dog, or hammock or tent, or hike slow or hike fast, I don't think there's necessarily a right way to hike.
I know I have talked to marathoners and ultramarathoners, and they'll get to a point where they're not even sure what they're thinking about at the time. Does that happen?
I felt pretty lucid on the hike. I remember, because I did have friends who were coming out to join me for, a short stretch or maybe even a few days. And some of them were ultramarathoners and would ask these questions like, oh, have you been hallucinating? Have you been, at these really, moments of what I think is almost scary in a health scenario. And I was like, no, I think if I felt that way, I might stop. So I remember the summer very well. I think I hiked. I didn't run. So that limited some of the stress on my body and maybe my mind as well. But I think you probably go through a different psychological journey on a 100-mile race than you do on a 2,200-mile hike.
Well, I'm curious. Do you ever see these folks who do the 100-mile run or climb Mount Everest or Diana Nyad? Do you ever think, wow, that's crazy? Or is it like, go brother, go sister?
Oh, yeah. No, it's funny because I don't consider myself hardcore. I do see people like hike up Mount Everest or do the, you know, ultra marathons. And some of it seems really extreme to me. And I think, and this sounds a little wimpy, but I think I have a speed threshold of about 5 miles per hour. You know, I can walk to 3 miles per hour. I can jog to 5 miles per hour. But downhill skiing, mountain biking, kayaking, whitewater, that is terrifying to me. So, yeah, I'm sort of a wimp in some weird ways.
I don't think anyone listening to this conversation would think you're a wimp. But but speed is a different dimension, isn't
it? Yeah, it really is.
I'm sure there's an answer to this. Is there a place yet you haven't hiked that you just really can't wait to see?
There's so many. It's hard to say. I think out of the country, I'd really like to go to Argentina and Chile. I haven't been there. And eventually, I'd like to trek some of the lower mountains of the Himalayas. But I think I've really appreciated, and I am a mother now. I have an 18-month-old daughter. And in a way, that's limiting, but it also, I think, exposes us to so much of what is really in our backyard in the United States. And my husband and I have made it a goal with our daughter to hike in all 50 states. And I've just been so impressed and amazed and in awe of what is in our own country. So we've loved going all around, doing local trails, seeing what other people experience when they go for, you know, a hike, because it's very different in different places. But that's sort of our new journey, and we're really embracing it.
And people can find out more about you on the web, right?
Sure. We have a website, which is Blue Ridge Hiking Co. That's co.com. And then there's several articles about the trail and about our journey that you can Google if you want.
Is it ever frustrating? I know before this conversation, you were in Tulsa, headed over here for the event at the Pack Rat in Fayetteville. Is it ever frustrating to be driving and think, oh, man, if we had 3 more hours, we'd pull over and see what that trail's like?
Yeah, I do refer to the car as the moving prison, so
I see that's frustration.
It is frustrating, but it's also our office. We spend so much time on the road, and my husband, he'll let me go, you know, hike on my own in the wilderness for 2 weeks, but he doesn't like it when I drive. He thinks I'm a much better hiker than a driver. So typically he drives, and I just you know, respond to email and work calls and get things done in the car. So, you know, it's not as fun as hiking, but it has to happen.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Jennifer Farr Davis holds the record for the fastest completion of hiking the Appalachian Trail. She completed the entire 2,181 miles in 46 days. Her books include Becoming Odessa, Epic Adventures on the Appalachian Trail, and her latest, Called Again, A Story of Love and Triumph. She was in Fayetteville this month for an appearance at Pack Rat Outdoor Center. You can learn more about her at her website, BlueRidgeHikingCO.com. This is Ozarks at Large.